This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, last week I ministered a message on healing spiritual forces. And I decided to make this a series, glory to God. So we're going to continue with that, amen? Last week we talked about, and there's spiritual forces, I believe, that you can partake of in the kingdom of God, amen? And these spiritual forces can set you free of any bondage, anything that you might be dealing with. Amen? And one of the key spiritual forces that we all need to be walking in is faith. Amen? And I like that word faith. Amen? In Hebrews 11:1, just a little review of last week. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Amen? So you got to believe it before you see it. Amen. You got to have some faith. I like what the Amplified says. It says, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of the reality that faith comprehends the fact what cannot be experienced by physical senses. Amen. So you got to believe it before you see it. Amen. And believing it before you see it, you will eventually see it in your life. Do you believe that today? And that's the first part of faith. Is faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And it will go beyond the unseen things that we don't see in the natural. And it will bring it into reality. In Hebrews 11:6, we talked about without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is believing that God exists, but not only that he exists, but that he is a good and merciful and gracious Heavenly Father. We got to believe that. You got to believe that. And that's what I really believe, that if we're acting on this scripture, that we got to believe that God is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. You're here this morning because you're diligent seekers of the Lord. And God will reward you. Do you believe that today? So true Bible faith is believing in the goodness of God and his graciousness and his mercy. Faith is activated by God's grace in our lives. I'm going to say it again. Faith is activated by God's grace in our lives. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So God's grace empowers us to be saved and is activated by faith in his word. Amen. So it's not how big your faith is, it's how big your God is. Amen. I'm going to say that again. It's not how big your faith is, it's how big your God is. Amen? When Jesus cursed the wither tree, Peter was amazed about it. And what Jesus said was so amazing, he said in Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. It's not having faith in yourself. It's not having faith in your finances. It's not having faith in your personal relationships with others. It's having faith in God. God's your source. People aren't your source. They're channels. People are channels of blessing, but God is the ultimate source of your blessings. Amen? And so God's grace, amen, can take away any weakness, any sin, anything that we might be dealing with. Do you believe that today? I like what Romans 6:14 says. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Thank God we're not under the law. I was reading the Old Testament where they picked up sticks on the Sabbath and they had to stone the person. Amen? Thank God we're not under the law. Thank God we're under grace. So that means you can pick up sticks on Sunday. Amen. Glory to God. So if you wanted to substitute the word sin, you could say, for sin should not have dominion over you. You could say, for sin, sickness, or bondage, or poverty of any kind shall not have dominion over you. Amen. Why? Because you're under grace. Grace of God empowers you to walk free in Him. Amen? Now I want to focus on another healing force, and this is a spiritual force called love. Amen. So love is the key that sets people free from bondage, and we need to learn to walk in the love of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul mentions in Corinthians that the Corinthian church didn't really have it all together. Even though they did operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there was a lot of immaturity in the Corinthian church. And Paul had to bring some correction to the Corinthian church. And in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 and 19, he's given some correction. He says, "Now, given these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together at church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you." So they were coming together in church, but they were in disunity. They were in divisions. And we got to keep walking in love, and they weren't honoring one another the way the Lord wants us to honor Him. And then when you drop down, he talks about this in taking communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27, he says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread," and because he was talking in the context of coming together and taking communion, he says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body of blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged." Amen. So this is talking about communion, and taking communion is a serious business. Amen. Yes. And you should always be checking your heart before you take communion, especially in your relationships with people and in your relationship with the Lord. Amen. And so if we're walking out of love towards one another at the communion table, we can be committing a sin against the body and the blood. And this sin can open the door to sickness and disease and death. But on the contrary, if we're walking in love towards God and people of God and judge ourselves, this will bring us to a place of taking communion in a worthy manner. Taking communion in a worthy manner opens the door to strength, health, and life. The complete opposite of what Jesus said that we would partake of if we're taking an unworthy manner. How do you take it worthy? You discern the body. We discern one another. We walk in love towards one another. We walk in love. We don't harbor ill will. We don't harbor bitterness. Amen. And I love that. So love is the key for us to walking out of bondage of weakness and sickness into the blessings and the strength and health of God. Jesus said the greatest commandment, in Matthew 22, 37, 40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang the entire law of the prophets." So you can take all the laws and you can boil it down to two sayings, amen? Two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Amen. And so the acid test of loving God is really loving people. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If you say that you love God and don't love your brother, you're in trouble. Because how can you love God and not love your brother that you see and God that you don't see? Amen. Amen. And so we have to love our brothers and sisters in Christ no matter what. Amen. And I like what he said here to his disciples. And this was at the end of Jesus's tenure. You know, he was with his disciples for a long time. You know, his disciples didn't always get along with each other. You know, they had some problems with each other. Amen. And so Jesus says to his disciples, a new commandment I give you, John 13:34. I give you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By all this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's powerful. So he's saying here a new commandment, and it's not a new suggestion. It's a commandment for us to love one another. And then he connects it to his love towards us. So really, you can't really walk in the love of God or walk in the love of Jesus until you understand, you know, what Jesus has done for us. Amen? You have the capacity to walk in Jesus' love. I'm going to say that again. You have the ability to walk in Jesus' love because you have the Holy Spirit. If you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have received the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and you have received love. In Romans 5:5, it says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen? So that love is in there. It just needs to be expressed. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes love that's in us is locked down. Has your love ever been locked down? In other words, people are doing things and saying things and hurting you, amen, and it can lock down, but you got to release the love of God. Now, this is powerful because I want to focus here this morning on love is giving and forgiving. Think about that. Love is giving and forgiving. One of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible, and I have a lot of favorite scriptures, but this one is really the golden text of the Bible. You ready for the golden text of the Bible? This one you should know. You should have this. If you've been a Christian for any time, you should have this scripture memorized. Some of you know where I'm going at here. John 3:16. But we're not just going to focus on John 3:16 this morning. We're going to look at John 3:17. Because that's almost as important as John 3:16. Amen? And because we don't want to leave out John 3:17. Amen? For it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm teaching my kids this scripture. Amen? For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is one of the most important, powerful verses in the Bible. Glory to God. So this verse is focused on God giving us Jesus, his very best. That's number one. And number two, God not condemning us. This is key. This is key. So if we're going to walk in God kind of love, we must give God and others our very best. Amen. My question to you, are you giving your very best? Are you giving your very best to the Lord every day? Are you putting your best foot forward? Are you giving your very best in serving others? Are you giving your best? Amen? And that's all God wants is our best. Amen? And you say, wow, that's all he wants. Yeah, that's all he wants is our best. He wants our best. Why? Because he gave us his best. Amen. So we should match it, should we not? Should we not try to give him our best in everything that we do? In Romans 12:10-12, it says here, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Notice it says here, not lagging in diligence. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continued steadfastly in prayer. So we see here that we want to walk our walk with God by giving our best and being people of excellence. Somebody say, I'm a person of excellence. And we got to be people of excellence. That means that we're excelling in every area of our lives, and the grace of God will cause you to excel. Do you believe that today? And then walk in love, we must stay away from being condemning and judgmental. Amen. This is very important because the world, what the world looks at Christians a lot of times, as Christians are judgmental, critical, and condemning people. Amen. In other words, we're not even supposed to judge non-Christians. Amen? Because what do non-Christians do best? They sin. That's what they do. Their father's the devil, so that's what they do. So we don't need to condemn them over their sin because God has already set in place a formula to help them get right with Him. Amen? And to walk in God's love, we must stay away from being condemning and judgmental. The Pharisees were condemning and judgmental. And we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be a religious, judgmental Christian. And it says here in John 3:17, just underlining this again, for God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. So Jesus did not come to bring condemnation. He came to bring restoration. Amen. I'm going to say it again. He didn't come to bring condemnation. He came to bring restoration. Amen. Jesus instructs us not to be condemning and judgmental. In Luke 6:37, Jesus says it this way, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Powerful. So Jesus even says, judge not lest you be judged. By the measure you judge others, it will be measured back to you, He says. He said, why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and don't see the plank that's in your own eye? Amen. Then He goes on and says, first you must take the plank out of your eye. The plank is bigger than the speck that's in your brother's eye. Amen. Then you can bring restoration in that relationship. Amen? Glory to God. So we don't want to be judgmental Christians. We want to walk in the love of God. The love of God has forgiving power in it. Amen. In Matthew 26:28 says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I love that. And so God's love has a forgiven nature to it. In other words, mercy is always attached to God's love. Amen. Think about that. I love that because Jesus was always walking in mercy towards people that came to Him for healing, deliverance. And He would even say to some people, He would say, like the lady that cried at His feet, He said, for your sins are many, they are forgiven. He is a forgiving Jesus. Amen? I like what it says here because Jesus' love is a sacrificial love. If you're not sacrificing at times, I don't know if you're walking in God's love. Because God's love is sacrificing some of our time, some of our resources, some of our talents for the kingdom of God. Amen? In John 15:13, it says, great love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. So this is sacrificial love. Jesus' love was so high, was such on a high level. I'm trying to get there. How many people are trying to get to Jesus' kind of love? Laying down your life is big. That's big. And so it's Jesus, greater love is no one than this, one to lay down his life for his friends. Somebody say, I'm a friend of God. Jesus laid down his life not just for servants. Amen. No, we are friends of the Most High God. Amen. Jesus' love is humble and obedient. If we're going to walk in the love of God, we got to have a little humility about us. Amen. We gotta be obedient. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So we have to have some humility. We have to be humble before the mighty hand of God, and He will raise us up. In Philippians 2, 5 and 8, it says this way, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross." Amen. This is powerful because Jesus gave it all. Jesus gave it all. And I really believe that there might be a time in your life where you need to give it all to Jesus. Amen. And that should be every day. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. And nobody likes to deny in themselves. Amen. So we need to pick up our cross and follow Jesus every day. So what kind of love we need to walk in? In Philippians 2, 1 and 4, it says, "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." That's a lot in there, amen? So if we're going to have fellowship, somebody say fellowship. You know, the most important thing that you can have in this life is fellowship. It's more important than money. It's more important than food. It's our fellowship with the Father God. That's the most important thing. And our fellowship with other believers. And the enemy's trying to work against that. He's trying to bring a breach between us and the Lord. He's trying to bring a breach between us and our loved ones. But we're not going to let that happen, are we? Amen. Jesus demonstrated the love and he walked in it at the Last Supper. Think about this. Jesus, it says here in John 13, 3, 5, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given him all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Think about this. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. And he's kneeling down and he's washing the disciples' dirty feet. Think about that. That's the humility and the love of our Savior. Amen? And so he says here, so when he washed their feet, he'd taken his garments and sat down, and he said to them, "You do not know what I have done to you. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Even if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." Amen. Symbolically, of course. Amen. Amen. So we're supposed to be, in other words, we're supposed to be watching over each other. We're supposed to be helping one another. We're supposed to be bringing people back in line if they're out of line with the Lord. We're supposed to be helping people, glory to God. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. Bring us into a place of helping one another, glory to God. So if you're going to walk in the love of God, you have to serve one another. I noticed that a lot of the miracles, or a few of the miracles that Jesus performed, he performed miracles not just for the individual that wanted the miracle. He performed miracles for people that loved other people. Jairus loved his daughter and compelled him to seek out Jesus for a miracle for his daughter. Think about this. See, your love is not just for yourself. Your love has to be for others. And your love can change others. Your love can change your family, glory to God. And Jairus love. In Mark 5, 22, 23, it says that one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his feet, pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. So Jesus was a busy person. Jesus had a lot of things. The whole crowd was there. Think about that, a big crowd. And in front of this big crowd, Jairus bowed down at the feet of Jesus. He worshiped Jesus for his daughter's healing. Are you willing to worship the Lord for somebody else's healing? Are you willing to worship the Lord for somebody else's deliverance? Are you willing to get to a place where you're asking God to set people free for the love of Jesus? The Canaanite woman loved her daughter and sought Jesus for healing. In Matthew 15, 22, a Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffered terribly." She professed her faith and love in Jesus, and Jesus healed her daughter. It says here that she came and worshiped him in 15:25, said, "Lord, help me." But Jesus answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." "But yes," she said, "Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus said, "Woman, you're great. Your faith is great. Your request is granted. Your daughter is healed." Glory to God. So she was fighting. Now Jesus was called to the lost sheep of Israel. He said that to her. But even a woman without a covenant got the mercy of Jesus. That's powerful. And so God wants to give us his mercy regardless of what it looks like. A father's love of the son with a small faith, Jesus caused the son to be delivered from a demonic oppression. So this, in Mark 9, 17, a man had a demon-possessed boy that the disciples could not cast that demon out. Amen. And later on, Jesus said, this kind comes out through prayer and fasting. So sometimes people may not be delivered. You may not be delivered unless you go to the next level. Maybe you might need to go to some prayer. Prayer is a lot easier than fasting. Maybe you need to push the plate away and go to the next level. But this is the key here, that the boy's father, he had doubts even if Jesus could could heal the boy. Jesus said, if you can do anything, do something. And so you know what? Jesus said, if you have faith, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Amen? And so what happened? Jesus set that boy free and told that spirit to never re-enter that boy again. Glory to God. So the love of a father caused his son to be set free. And I'm going to say this, your love for other people, glory to God, we got to have more love than for ourselves, but we need to have more love for God and for others. Amen? When you put others first, then that's when God puts you in a great place with him. Amen? Do you believe that today? Amen. Glory to God. So the second part of my message today is that love is forgiveness. Peter came to Jesus asking, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? Up to seven times." And Peter thought he was being generous. And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven." That's a lot of times. That means somebody can mess up a lot. That means your spouse can mess up a lot. But you still need to keep forgiving them. Glory to God. And Jesus gives us an example of this is really one of the most powerful examples of forgiveness that's in the Bible. And most people and most scholars would call it the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. But I want to rename that for you this morning. I want to call it the parable of the loving, forgiving father. instead of the prodigal. I don't want to focus on the son's prodigal living. I want to focus on the father's forgiving power. It says here that in Luke 15:11, it says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. Talk about he had two sons and he divided his livelihood before he even passed away. That's a lot of nerve to ask for your inheritance before your parents pass away. That's a lot of nerve. That boy had boldness. Amen. But he got it. He got his inheritance. As it's not many days after the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This boy was in trouble. This boy was in a place. He was in a pig pen. He was in a bad place. Amen. And I'm telling you, even though you can be in a pig pen, all you need to do is turn to God. He can bring you out of pig pen. But he says, but when he came to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. This young man had repentance in his heart. He saw the error of his ways, and he wasn't even willing to be called a son. Think about that. But I'm telling you, you can mess up many times, but I'm telling you, God will not divorce your sonship from him. Amen. Amen? You can mess up, and you will always be a child of the Most High God. Glory to God. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Think about that. The love of his father didn't even focus on his sin that he was in, but focused on the fact that he came back. Glory to God. And so the father said to his servants, and then he was ready to rehearse his line. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight, I'm no longer to be called your son. And he was in remorse. He was in repentance. He was feeling unworthy to be called a son. But the father said to him, to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin to be merry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the loving, forgiving power of our heavenly Father. That's our Father. Glory to God. You may be way out there. You may be out in the pig pen. You might be eating the corn cobs. Amen. From eating all the wrong things. But God is always there. That Father was always there to waiting for you to come back. In Isaiah 43:25, it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. He blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. Glory to God. Powerful. So I'm telling you right now, your sins are blotted out for not your sake, but for his sake, because he desires a fellowship and a relationship with you. It says in Psalms 103, he has not dealt, in verse 10 and 12, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for that. Because I'm telling you, some of us mess up. Amen. You're looking at a pastor that's not perfect. I mess up at times, but thank God. He's not punished me according to my iniquities. Amen. For as the heavens are high above the earth, So great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. If we're gonna categorize sins, murder and adultery, fornication, lying and stealing, these are all sins that are forgivable. Amen. But the only sin that Jesus said that will not be forgiven beside the unpardonable sin is the sin of not forgiving others. He says here in Mark 11:25, whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. And the Amplified says this way, whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue. Let it go. So that your Father in heaven will also forgive you of your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. Somebody say, drop the issue. Somebody say, let it go. We got to learn to drop the issue and let it go. The Bible says this, that if somebody sins against you, you don't need to ignore it. You need to bring it to their attention. It says here in Matthew 18:15-17, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he tells you, you have gained your brother. Matthew 18:15-17. And it says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Amen. Notice it says you and him alone. Amen. Glory to God. But if he hears you, and you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take one with you, two or more, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But he refuses even to hear the church, then he's really in trouble. He's in trouble. And he said, well, just let this man be like a tax collector. In other words, just let him be. Amen? Because you can't force people to repent. You can't force people to ask forgiveness. Amen. Only the Holy Spirit can move on people's hearts to walk in love and forgiveness. That's why we got to be very careful that we're not judging or even telling people what they need to do. They need to hear it from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. And the Holy Spirit will convict us and will show us and bring us back in the right path. Amen. Do you believe that today? As we wrap it up, love is giving and forgiving. So when we walk in this kind of love, we will be like the Father that let it go. Did you know there was a little part of that story about the brother? The older brother was upset that the brother had a party and he would not come in. And he was holding a grudge against his brother that did wrong. Even though his brother in his heart repentant. And so that's the reason why we don't want to judge people, because we don't know where they're at in their hearts. We don't know if they've repented. We don't know if they set it straight. That's the reason why we need to just pray for those, amen, that may be doing wrong, so God can convict them and bring them in right. Amen. Is that powerful today? Amen. Did you receive it today? Amen. I believe love is giving and forgiving. And when we walk in the love of God, we will walk in the attributes of health, healing, wholeness, soundness, preservation, protection, prosperity, and eternal life. Amen. Do you believe that today? Yes. Did you receive it today? Yes. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are so good to us. And I thank you that you are so loving, that you gave your son Jesus. And perhaps you're here in the audience, perhaps you're watching online. Maybe you've never made a decision for Jesus. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. In other words, if the Holy Spirit's drawing you by His Spirit, then you need to act on it. So if you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just say this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. If you're here locally and watching, we want to invite you to be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that will help you grow in your faith and continue to tune in to Exceed Life Church every Sunday to build your faith and to be the person that God's called you to be. Amen?
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.